Listen to Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. You know, it is so wonderful to come to the house of God, am I correct? Where there's no war. I mean, Philippines, we must not take all this for granted. It is so wonderful to just come. Okay, when things are not right, then we want to come to church, then we cannot go to church anymore. Okay, Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Okay, I'm going to read to you. I cannot read the whole chapter, okay? It is too long. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, the caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, three group of people, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tent, and they came as grasshopper for multitudes. But both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that God sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptian, out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I say unto you, I will be your God. I will be the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. Okay, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our God told us of? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? Father, anoint this message right now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Okay, I'm going to title my message this morning, Gideon's, the one who bruises and breaks a destroyer. The account of Gideon is found in the book of Judges from chapter 6 to chapter 8. Three full chapters. I cannot finish them. In fact, I only finished the first part of Gideon. I cannot finish everything, okay? I cannot cover all. Gideon and Samson, these two judges, okay, are dealt with in more details than any other judges that is found in the book of Judges. Gideon is a strange mixture of doubt and fear. Okay, Gideon is a person of doubt and fear. We can identify with Gideon in that we are also constantly filled with doubt and fear in our lives. Look at our Christian walk. I look at my own Christian walk. Okay, I've been a Christian for more than 40 years, okay? And I can tell you that there are many periods in my life that I was filled with doubt and fear. Numerous occasions. The famous account of Gideon putting out the fleece in Judges chapter 6, verse 36 to 40 is not an act, it's an act of unbelief. Therefore, not something that we should not emulate. Many of the things we have done in our life many a times are done out of doubt and fear. Am I correct? Many things we have done out of doubt and fear. Okay? You want to give birth, you are worried out of doubt and fear. You want to do this, you did it out of doubt and fear. That is why Gideon is such a wonderful person that we can study on, because he's so much like each and every one of our lives. I can literally identify myself with Gideon, and I believe that you can identify yourself with Gideon too. Okay, let's go to number one, our extremity. Judges chapter 6, verse 1 to 4 says, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, the caves and the stronghold. That means they live in the mountains, in the caves and the stronghold. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came out against them, and they came against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. It destroyed everything that they have planted. Till you come unto Gaza and left no sustenance. Neither sheep, neither ox, neither ass. So the children of Israel, we study here that they had to live in hideaways. Live in hideaways. They have to hide their food in the mountains because of the pressures of the Midianites. They are known, these places are known as the refuge for the Israelites. Places where the Israelites took refuge because of the terrible Midianites invasion. I mean, look at Ukraine right now. Okay, they are all going, hiding in bunkers. They are hiding in the MLT. You know the MLT? That's why they built the MLT for refuge. All went into the MLT. That's why they are hiding because of the attack of the Midianites. Same thing in Ukraine. Three groups of people attacked them. Very interesting. There were three groups of people that attacked them, and we read about them. First, it was the Midianites, the chief leader, the Midianites. These people are relatives of the Hebrews through Keturah, which is Abraham's wife. Okay? They, after the death of Sarah, they are linked to the Canaanites. Okay? Moses' father-in-law was a priest of this tribe. So they are closely related. They are relatives with the Hebrews. The Amalekites, another group, they are also related to the Hebrews through Esau. The name of Esau became synonymous with treachery and evilness because of the way they treated the people of God during the Exodus period. Are you attacked with treacheries and evil, not by outsiders, but by your supposedly people that you know, that you trusted? Are you being attacked by these people? The third group of people is the sons of the east. This refers possibly to a non-Semitic group. Okay? Sometimes the people closest to us are sent by God to terrorize us. Okay, you know, many Ukrainians can speak Russians. The people that attack them, the Ukraine, they speak Russian. And the people that attack them are also the Russians. Sometimes the people closest to us are sent by God to terrorize us. Psalms 55 verse 1, verse 12 to 14 say this: if an enemy was insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God together. Your supposedly companions were treacherous and wicked in their dealings with you. This is very true in our life. Okay? These three groups of people, especially the third group, are nomadic invaders. Apparently, they swam over the land during the time of harvest and stole the annual crops along with the livestock of the Israelite. The phrase, destroy the produce of the earth, is used in the word they gaze, involving overgazing. They bring their camel, they bring their livestock over, and they gaze over the land of Israel. Overgaze their land. The enormous multitudes of the cattle and the camels of these attackers consume the whole produce of the land. It implies stealing Israel crops and herds. And the Bible said their attack was like locusts. Okay, in another translation, it says that it's like grasshopper. You know, God is very interesting. There was one time in my life, I was facing some problem, and this guy was flying in from the plane, flying in from, I don't want to mention the place, okay, to Iloilo City. And Pastor Lily and me, we were driving to the airport. We see the crowd, ominous crowd, totally dark. Cloud, totally dark. And we saw it coming towards us. And because of that cloud, the guy that is supposed to fly in, he could not land on the airport. He has to fly out to another place. So God is telling us a sign that these people, they are coming in. They are coming in. Do you know God can tell you things? If you are sensitive, God can tell you. God is telling us that these are the people that are coming in to give you problem. So the Bible here says that the locusts were like grasshopper. Okay? Locust is a plague. Okay? Mentioned in Joel as a metaphor for invasion. I personally, I don't know whether you have witnessed a locust. But I've read, okay? I've read about travelers in India. They describe the sudden darkening, the darkening of the clouds, of the sky, because of a flight of the locust. Locust has always been a part of the cursing that is found in the book of Deuteronomy. So actually, the lives of the Israelites were cursed in that period of time. The locusts leave no sustenance, no sheep, no grass, no corns, no fruits, no ox, no asses. All these did either die for want of food or were seized by the Midianites. The Bible says, whenever Israel has sown, Midianites will come out. The Midianites do not come out constantly. They are so smart, they come at the time of harvest to steal what the Israelite has grown and leave no sustenance for Israelite. I like to ask each and every one of you, is your life such that whenever your monthly income comes, the enemy, whatever it is, will come and take away your money? Or every time a blessing comes, an enemy will come and also take it away? Have you encountered a crisis that your very livelihood is threatened, especially during this COVID-19? Have you encountered a crisis that your livelihood is threatened and there's a real possibility of losing everything? You know, Pastor Carlos was telling me that we have to pay the tax declaration, okay, for some of the land that we bought in Barbasa and Libertad. Pastor Carlos was telling me that when he entered the province of Antique, he said he cannot see any jeepneys, but just series bus. And Roger Rokina was telling Pastor Carlos that the bus, okay, the daily income is only 500 peso. If you think about 500 peso, how much of it is used to pay for the petrol, the gas? So it is not easy. It is not easy. Have you come to a place your pocket has a hole? Your household is leaking in its finances. Our sins make all our hard work profitless. Maybe not directly, but the sin of the world, the sin of the country, has made our hard work profitless. All our produce and earnings are stolen after you work hard to bring it to fruition. Sin does this. It robs us of what we work hard to gain. There are many accomplished men who lose everything in life because they won't stop at sin. Are you greatly impoverished right now, like the Israelite, because of sin? So these people supposedly came and took away everything that you treasured from you. They took away your reputation. They took away your source of livelihood. They did what the quoted idiom says. They hang you up dry. They hang you up to dry. They leave you behind. They abandon you, especially in the moments of difficulties. I can say that I literally experienced that in 2012. We lost everything in your extremity. You are brought to humiliation. It is very funny. It is very, very funny that before you are brought back to court, many a time you have to be humbled. You have to be in hiding. You have to live as the cave dwellers like the Israelite instead of living in proper civilized condition. Number two, fruits of ingratitude cause of extremity. I remember in the first years of my ministry here in 1986, 87, 88, I love these songs. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Because of what the Lord because of what the Lord has done for me. It's my favorite song during those years. I remember there was one year I went back and the song just keep ringing. Maybe God was trying to tell me to be grateful. I don't understand. Maybe God is trying to teach every one of us to be grateful in life. Yet many a time we don't understand. I remember there was one year, God, this song was just, until now as I'm talking to you, I can still remember the atmosphere. Give thanks with a grateful heart. When I was back in Polo in Singapore, I was grateful. But I cannot say anymore, that anymore, in the latter part or the middle part of my ministry. I can say that I grew proud. I took God for granted. I became ungrateful. I grew distant from God. This is what happened to many of us. What is the cause of all these extremities? It is the fruit of ingratitude. The first part of Judges chapter 6 was a condemnation of each and every one of us with a simple statement of fact. You are ungrateful. You are ungrateful. Just as God condemned you with a simple statement, you are ungrateful. They were helpless because they have cast him off. Who has helped us so wondrously. I want you to look at your life. Who would have been your help in every time of need. Who have not, if you have not wantonly forsaken him. And in like manner, many a time, some often, a bad statement of fact, God say it as it is. You are ungrateful. It's enough to overwhelm us with guilt and shame. Let every man, let us look at our own life with unflinching truth. Be honest. Records the incidents of a year, a period, a time, period in your life where you were ungrateful. That was what happened to David. There was one period he was ungrateful. Maybe there was one period in your life that you were ungrateful. And God is abounding grace and love. Redeem us. God in his abounding grace and love. Redeem us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Freely forgive us of our trespasses and sin. He receives us into the adoption of as his children by Jesus Christ. He's serious with the Holy Spirit of promise. These are some of the wonderful things that God has done for each and every one of our life. He crowned us with loving kindness. A tender mercy. He showed us the kingdom of heaven. And he promises heaven. He bid us to enter into it. He showed us the deadly evils of sin. He showed us the beauty and the loveliness of being a good person, godliness. He showed us and he told us, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. You know, one of the most terrible problems of the Christian of today is they forgot God. They took God for granted. Whatever that has happened that is good in their life, God should be doing all this for me. And they don't have... They did not re-establish or establish a proper relationship with God. But we have not hearkened to his voice. We have forgotten his love. Despised his grace. We disbelieved his word. And we played with sin. We believed the lying promises of sin. We loved the world. We were slave to our own pleasures. And the subject of our passion. We turn aside with the multitudes of evil to us. And now we are eating the fruits of our doing. We have forsaken God. Therefore God has forsaken us. What is seen in the fruits of ingratitude? Israel's abandonment of Jehovah is punished by the apparent abandonment of Yahweh towards Israel. There cannot be a heavier punishment than this. Let the sinners and the backslider consider the condition that they are in. And God will treat them. Why are you forsaken? Because you have forsaken God. Simple as that. Simple as that. Number two, the manner and extent of their discipline are suggestive of the hideousness of the offense. What I'm trying to say is that the extent, the gravity of God's chastening of you is in proportion to the hideousness of your sin. Things has come to such a head that only a full experience of the worst of the treachery and evilness of our wicked neighbors would reveal the true state of our soul and the deserving discipline we are getting. It will teach us the bitter fruits of evil. It is such time that drives us to the doctrines of truth, of life. Then we will learn again the love of God. Number three, It is a salutary, a helpful discipline because it leads us to repentance and prayer. You know, God has no pleasure in long agony. But on the other hand, He will not shorten it. He will not shorten it. The result justified. The punishment is in accordance with the sin. The result justified the severity. Saints often regard their calamities as their greatest mercy. I tell you frankly, I thank God that it is the calamities that help me to understand the mercies of God. Many times I thank God for the greatest tragedy of my life because it shows how much He loved me, how much He cares for me, and will not let my soul go to hell. And in so doing, He allowed the calamities to preserve our soul. It's true. I just want to tell you, God will do anything to protect your soul. God will do anything. If you are not attacked and if you're not disciplined by God, you are in dangerous ground. You are in dangerous ground. I remember I was in university. Then I was telling this lady, sometimes you are disciplined by God because He cares for you. Sometimes because you get bad results. I said, sometimes you're disciplined by God because He loves you. She couldn't understand. Then she failed her year in university. She has to stay behind for 1 year. And she understood what I'm trying to say because she understood it draws her closer to God. It draws her to experience, to appreciate God. The Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercy that I have been chastened. How roughly have been some of God's greatest saint. The greater your pain, the greater your future that God has planned for you. I say again, the greater your pain, what you have gone through, some of you went through tremendous health issues in life. You don't understand. But that is because God is planning something beautiful in the future for your life. He may be nearer to us in our affliction than in our prosperity. Number three, God was sought and found in times of trouble. Are you in trouble? Seek God. God was sought and God was found in times of trouble. Now it came to pass about when the son of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel and said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, it was I who brought you out from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptian, from the hands of all your oppressor, and disposed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not obey me. We are told that the children of Israel cried to God. This is one of the most beautiful things that you can do in your life. You know, if you study the Bible properly, I notice that every time the children of Israel or the people of God cry to God, God will come and deliver them. You look at it. Egypt, look at Egypt. For 400 years they groan and they cry. And God said, I've heard Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. Now I want you to go and deliver my people. The Lord sent an unnamed prophet. Yahweh repeats the covenant promises of God's trustworthiness, and He showed it by the demonstration of delivering them from Egypt. He said that He dispossessed the enemy first by the hornets, by the beasts. He dispossessed the enemy by divining, empowering Israel. Am I correct? Give them manna, give them strength, give them water out of the rock by divining, empowering Israel and by Himself. He Himself fought. He Himself came down and fought on their behalf. He came down from Mount Sinai and fought on their behalf. And He said that, I've given you the land. Canaan is God's land. Canaan is Yahweh's land. Canaan is present day Israel. I don't care what the Palestinian, what the Egyptian, what the Jordanian, the Syrian, the Hamas, the Hezbollah say that Gaza, West Bank, Golan Heights belongs to them. Israel took it from them. No. God said, He owns the land and He gave it to Israel. So their quarrel is not with Israel. Their quarrel is with God. No matter what they do, I just want to tell you, eternally, Israel will belong to the Jews. Eternally, it will belong to them. In fact, it will become the center of the world. The only way our Canaan represents our earthly inheritance. Why I talk about Canaan? It represents your blessing while here on earth. Your earthly inheritance. That includes your house. That includes your property. That includes your blessing in your bank account. That includes something that God has given you. It is your inheritance that God has given you when you're here on earth. Canaan represents that. Canaan is not talking about heavens. The only way our earthly inheritance that can be taken away from our life is we forgot God. We go and worship other gods. Other things has become more important than God. We have no time for God. We have no time even to come to church. And the church is only 1 hour or 1.5 hours in the church. And the whole week is yours. The only way our inheritance can be taken away from us is our sin. We've forgotten God. The sad thing is that many of us, many a time, we forgot God. We sin against God. And He take away our inheritance. The source of the problem was not God's inability, impotence, but our disobedience to the covenant promises of God. So what can trouble teach us? Are you in trouble this morning? Number one, troubles drives you to God. I pray that troubles today will drive you to God. The people forsook God and now they are miserable, hiding. Often it is when we are hiding that remember the goodness of God and cry to God for help. This is a common experience. You know, it's very, very shameful that we worship God for not who He is. We worship God because we want to get something out of Him. Okay? In prosperity, okay, we should recognize the token of His love. We should recognize the goodness of God and live out our thoughts in grateful recognition. To turn to God only in hours of need. Okay? It is something that is very selfish. We only remember God when we are in trouble. It is a very selfish thing. I don't talk about any one of you. I look at my children. When they are in trouble, hello God. When they are not in trouble, nothing about God. Nothing about God. The calamities will reach us to this result is because of our sin. So trouble drives us to God. No matter what, whether you come back, you cry to God because of a selfishness or because of any other thing. Thank God you cry to God. You have to rouse your need for God. You have to learn to seek Him. No matter what. I want you to understand that you seek God in happy times, also in bad times. You don't seek God in bad times. But even you seek God in bad times, God say, still seek me in bad times. So we should learn to seek God. Things are fine. We should learn to have a proper relationship with God. Every day of our life. To tell you very frankly, I want to be very honest. In 2018, 17, 18 and 19. Okay, 17, 18 and 19. I want to be very honest. They were some of the best years of my life. There was a sincere hunger. Maybe I was influenced by Pastor James. There was just this desire to want to be proper, to seek God, to be godly. The circumstances during that time was good. It was good, okay? I'm not saying that 18, 19 was bad time. It was good time. But even good time, there was a tremendous hunger for God. I saw God. Then 2020, 2021 came. Very bad times. I want to tell you frankly that God truly spared me from the bad times and kept me and protect Pastor Lily and I during the entire COVID-19 crisis. So, you see God when there's good time. And when bad times God, bad times come, there is still God. But even that, okay, you forget God and there is bad times and you start to seek God in bad times, God say, it's okay, sige lang, still seek me. Because of the tremendous goodness of God, the tremendous love of God. B, if God is truly sought in trouble, he will certainly be found. If you really seek God, God will definitely be found. He will definitely appear before you. I just promise you. He will reveal to you through circumstances. He will reveal to you through the Bible. He will reveal to you through people. He will speak to you. He will be found. If you seek him honestly, truly seek him, he will be found. As soon as the people cried, God heard them, the Bible says. He sent a prophet, then the deliverer. He sent the prophet first, okay? Then the deliverer, Gideon. If we forsake God in our prosperity, it is reasonable for God to forsake us in our difficulties. But in spite of that, God still comes and helps us. Because God hears us out of consideration, out of pity for our distress. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid. Okay, maybe you have done something very bad. You don't have to be afraid. He will respond to your call. He will respond to your call. The next one. When God is found in trouble, he does not always bring immediate deliverance. Wow, this is very good. When God is found in trouble, he does not bring immediate deliverance. Israel cried for help. Maybe you cry for help. God did not send their help at once. The people expected a deliverer. God sent a prophet. No words of promise is given by the prophet that the relief will come. Relief will come. Help is on the way to your distress. In fact, the prophet only speaks of your sin, your ingratitude, that they may feel how richly they deserve the suffering that they are facing right now. Their mind is occupied with the distress. Their mind is occupied with their sin. They cry for deliverance. But God wants to first deliver them from their yoke of iniquity. From their yoke of iniquity. Therefore, prophets of repentance come before Gideon's the deliverer. Before the prophets of repentance has to come. The prophet of repentance has to come before God sent Gideon's the deliverer. So you must expect when God visits you in our sin, he deals with us to save you from the spiritual evil, delivering you of your physical distress. Jesus bore our sicknesses, infirmity, but his great work was to save us from our sin. I remember in 2012, our hearts was very painful, but he did not deliver us immediately. You go to my office, there's a cabinet. In Pastor Lily's cabinet, there's a box, okay, a metal box. Inside the metal box contain money, very little, maybe, I don't know, 7,000 pesos. I don't know, I can't remember. I also not interested. And the box inside. 7,000 pesos. Pastor Lily remembers 7,000 pesos. She kept the box and she kept the money. The box reminds her of the lowest time of her life. We were not able to go out, okay, in 2012 to 14. We were not able to go out for 2 years. Because money was very, very tight. And Pastor Lily got to make cake. In that two years to sell the cake. Okay, but I want to tell the staff, during those 2 years, we have never shortchanged you. We paid you fully. Am I correct? We paid you properly every month. But we were tight, two of us were tight.
The church didn't pay us.
The church didn't pay us. We cannot ask the church to pay us. We were not able to go out often to eat because money was so tight, literally tight. It was 2 years later, 2014. See, God did not deliver us immediately. It was 2 years later, 2014, that we had a breakthrough. The church starts to become okay again. And support starts to come into our lives again from foreign. And we remember in 2014, we went to breakthrough in Villa. We remember we ordered the dishes. I tell you, the neighbors were looking at us. Just two of us, Pastor Lydia and me, we were just two. The table facing one another, there was lobster, there was crab, there was prawn, there was fish. They were eating. What are these two doing? We ate a lot. You were so many. And people were amazed and wondered, why we ordered so much. God did not deliberately, immediately deliver us. For 2 years, we suffered. But we were taught well. We were taught well the lessons of life. The calamities changed Pastor Lily and I. Evangelize. You have to be very fair to Pastor Lily and I. We have changed so much. You have to be very fair to two of us. No more picking on people in the pulpit. Merciful to those who are in sin. Help to restore them spiritually. Treat them with respect. People. Treat our staff with respect. In the past, when our staff did something wrong, we said, come to our office. They tremble when they come to our office. I tell you frankly, you want to know Pastor Lee, we are very strong people. Some of you still are afraid of us because you see us are very strong. But today, the staff enjoy time with Pastor Lily. Pastor Lily will cook for them frequently and they'll come in and talk to Pastor Lily. Every Tuesday when Pastor Lily is asking the staff to count the offering, okay, we need two people to count the offering, okay, and they will be in Pastor Lily's office counting the offering, and I can hear them chit-chatting, talking in the office. Do you know, last time I was very bad. I treat myself because I learned from my pastor. There was one staff, she was quite disobedient. So I asked her, and I was so angry, I just banged the table and the whole glass broke. But we are no more like that. So eventually, you have to be very fair to this church, very fair to Pastor Tony and Pastor Lily. When God is found in trouble, He did not bring immediate deliverance. Number four, the consciousness of sin, which must precede deliverance, is produced by a prophet's message in the midst of trouble. What this phrase is trying to say there? God reveals your sin. God reveals your sin before He delivers you. God needs you to acknowledge your sin. You know, there are some people, they are still suffering because they did not come to a point and say, Father, I have sinned against you. Right. No, I'm telling you frankly, I look at some people, they are still suffering. They are still experiencing bad things because they have never come to acknowledgement and agreement that they have done wrong in that period of life. In that period of life. So, you have to be very honest with God. You have to be very honest with God. The consciousness of sin must be there before you want to see the deliverance of your life. Number four, I'm going to go to part four. Number four, we go fast. Gideon's, the one who bruises and breaks and became a destroyer. You know, recently I was praying concerning the future of this church. Pastor Lily and I, we are not young already, okay? And Yahweh told me very clearly, I was very happy when I heard that. He told me specifically that He will raise up a new leader. The word new was there. He will raise up a new leader. As long as we, Evangel Tabernacle, remains loyal, faithful, humble to God, repenting when they have done wrong, cry to Him constantly when we are in trouble, seek God constantly in our life, we are in good hand. We will be in good hand. If the church is in good hand, you that are part of the church, you will be in good hand. As God sends a prophet, He sends a greater prophet in our midst, which is Jesus Christ. God sent a prophet, but there is a greater prophet, and that is Jesus. He sent Jesus. Jesus was sent to our life. So why must you be afraid? Jesus was sent into your life because He heard your cry. Jesus not just heard your cry, He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for your sins of ingratitude. Even if your sins of ingratitude, your besetting sins, He was sent by God to deliver you, but He asked you to repent. And when you repent, He lives in our midst. He don't just say, okay, I forgive you, God bless you, bye-bye. No, He lives in our midst. He empowered us. The greater prophet, Jesus tells us that you are in good hand. Evangel Tabernacle is in good hand. Just serve Him properly and He will not fail this church and He will not fail your life. Let's talk about Gideon. God said he will raise a Gideon in our midst. What are the characteristics of Gideon? Gideon means he that bruises or breaks a destroyer. As Gideon threshed the wheat in the cave, threshed the wheat, God will make him a thresher against the enemies. Isaiah say to Gideons, "Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument. Having teeth, you shall thresh the mountain, beat them small, you shall make the hill as sharp." What I'm trying to say that, God said, "I will raise a Gideon, I will raise among you Gideons, and you will bruise and break the stronghold of your enemies, and you become a destroyer for God's kingdom and for God's glory." I don't see Gideon here as a judge, even though he's called a judge. I see him in many of our lives. Gideon is a representation of many of us. He was a simple man. I'm a simple man. You are a simple man. Living a simple life. You have to have a correct picture of yourself in relationship to God. You are a simple man living a simple life. That doesn't mean that you are excluded by God. That doesn't mean that God doesn't remember you. Even the whole world forget your name, God knows your name. Many of us are in the shoes of Gideon. What Gideon is experiencing is exactly what you're going through. What comes out from the heart of Gideon is also what comes out from your heart. Gideon is a man filled with fear and doubt. You are filled with fear and doubt in life. He's a simple man. What God sees in Gideons, a simple man filled with doubt and fear. What God sees in Gideon, God sees in you. I remember when I got saved, my salvation was a little bit very traumatic, very special, in the sense that God delivered me from demon possession literally. I was just a simple man, okay? I'm going to a small school and nobody knows me. I go and catch spiders in the forest. I will cycle with my friends and we will do all the roads, it's all our muddies. Then I have only one uniform to go to school throughout the whole week. That is the kind of life I come from. But when God delivered me, suddenly inside me, I pray that you will be... I realize that, hey, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I realize that I'm different. I'm no more the same. Not because of who I am, but because of God that is inside me. God sees Gideon as he sees you. Gideon was beating the grains in a wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. There are two things. He was hiding his crops from the annual rate. It was not a very large crop, so it could be threshed in a wine press. Meaning to say his life was difficult and humbling. Same thing, your life is difficult and humbling. Wheat was threshed in open spaces, typically on hilltop, so the breeze can blow away the chaff. But wheat was not threshed in sunken place like a wine press. And Gideon did it in a wine press. Isn't it like us? Huh? Doing our little thing in life. Nobody knows about us. Trying to bring in income every day to our family. We are just a nobody. Our position in life right now is both tough and shameful. Some of you, you dare not invite people to your house. Shameful. We are about in our everyday life trying to earn a living. We don't have a very large earning. And whatever we earn, we are trying to save as much as we can. But many times to no avail. Something will come up and take away the money. The enemy will come and just take it away. Not of your own fault, many a times. Like, it's not Gideon's fault. Actually, you shouldn't say it's not Gideon's fault, because Gideon's parents also worship idols. Then the angel came and said, "The Lord is with you, oh valiant warrior." Would you believe it? God comes to you right now and say, "The Lord is with you, oh valiant warrior." The King James Version put it as, "Oh mighty man of valor." This was a strange greeting to greatness, and God is trying to say that to you. It doesn't seem like God is with him. God is not with him. It doesn't seem that he was a mighty man of valor anymore. Gideon must have turned to say, "Are you talking to somebody else or talking about somebody else and not me?" Suddenly, Gideon changes. The Lord is with you too. If the Lord be with me. If the Lord is with me. Gideon cannot recognize the angels or the prophet or the pastor and even address him in a way that shows he was wondering. He was wondering whether God is in his life or not. Same thing. Maybe you are wondering whether God is in your life or not. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Valiant warrior is a sarcastic statement, but it turned into a prophecy. It became true. It became true. He became a mighty man of valor, Gideon. And valiant warrior means a title for nobility. He became a person of nobility. But many a times, we are so far away from being nobles. We question God's presence. Right now, maybe you question God's presence. We question God's deliverance. But he's still God, even though you know, you don't know. Then Gideon said, but now the Lord has abandoned us. Maybe some of you are saying, God has forgotten about me. God has abandoned me. Israel felt that Yahweh has abandoned them. Gideon felt that God has abandoned them. Do you feel abandoned by God? Like Gideon, you do not fully realize the devastating consequences of your covenant disobedience. Many a time, you must understand the importance of covenant obedience. And it's because of a covenant disobedience that you added to the trouble in your life. You added to the trouble where God wants to bless your family. You added to the trouble where God wants to bless your career. Then God gives a mandate. This is similar to God sending Moses. God's use of human instruments. Yahweh's personal presence is the key to victories. Yeah, these are the two. God used a human. The key to your victory is God. Who is Gideon? Who are you? The least member of a poor family, of a divided tribe, whose name was not famous in annals of the country, a man unknown, unheard of, his occupation was just to thresh the corn or the wheat, lest the Midianites take it. Simple man. But God has chosen his instrument, and that is Gideon. And you must be prepared. Two things are necessary in the first place to awaken you in the thorough trust in God. The other, to inspire you with proper trust in yourself. To awaken you. What God wants to do this morning is to awaken you in your trust in God. God is a mighty God. And to awaken you in your trust in yourself. God said, I am with you. If God be with you, why must you be afraid? And God called you a mighty man of valor. God called you a mighty man of valor. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Go in your might, and you shall save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. God, surely I will be with you. And if those words fail, then you cannot arise. So these are the two things. These are the two things. Have a thorough trust in God and a thorough trust in yourself. I say to you that when I got my salvation, I start to believe in God, myself. I start to believe in myself. I start to have a desire to study hard. So I went to university. I start to believe that I can accomplish things. I start to believe that I can lead a group. In the past, I cannot. But I start to believe in myself. Not because of anything, but because of God that is in me. And God is in you today. God is in you today. I start to lead the group. I start to lead the cell group. And Pastor Lily and me, we start to handle the evangelism explosion team that grew from 8 people to 200 every Sunday. Then they send us to the Philippines. Believe in your great God. Believe. Have a correct estimate from in yourself. And this trust in yourself, it springs from your trust in God. Shall we all stand up? I ask the musician. Brothers and sisters, God told me that He will raise a new leader. I don't know. In our midst are Gideons. And God said, this church is in good hand. As long as you just seek God, do what is right, do not go astray in the false doctrines. When you did something wrong, repent of your sin and come back to God. Have a proper relationship with God every day. God said, you are in good hand. You are in good hand. God said, I will raise a Gideonites in your midst. And God said, He will raise in our midst leaders. What is the characteristics of these two leaders? They are nobody. They are filled with fear and doubt. They are ordinary people. They are not prominent people. Just ordinary people. But there are these two important characteristics. They have a complete trust in God. They have a complete trust in themselves because this trust springs from a trust in God. You know, there are many things. There are many things in our life that's not proper right now. And God wants you to come back to Him. Maybe some of you have done something that is wrong. And God said, come back to me. Come back to me. Let my fire come upon you. And let God raise up new leaders, Gideonites, in this congregation as we sing. As we sing.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are. brothers and sisters, I believe the message is very, very clear. The message brings Gideon to our level. And I know that there are so many forms of oppression coming upon us individually. Globally, the greatest Midianites now is the COVID. And then now is aggravated by this Russian invasion of Ukraine. And many of us, you know, we are ignorant of the biblical significance behind the Russian attack of Ukraine.
Yes.
Because I remember in the middle of our missions, we were sent back to Singapore to attend a conference because it was very urgent. Rick Stewart had a prophetic message for all the churches. And he expounded the prophecy from the book of Ezekiel about the Gog and Magog coming together to invade Israel. And Gog and Magog represent Russia. And today we have a glimpse of the coming or the future attack of Russia to Israel. Because Russia was envious of the prosperity of Israel. And today we see Ukraine. Ukraine was a nation that was doing very well.
Yes.
It's doing very, very well. For no reasons. Whether you want to talk about the reason by the Western point of view or whether the reason from the point of view from Putin, there was what we call outright oppression. It's a bully. And some of you today, maybe you have been bullied in life. Maybe you're bullied by financial hardship. You're bullied by, you know, people in your ministry, above you or under you. Like Pastor Tony said, sometimes God used people nearest to us to terrorize us. We can forgive when it's unbelievers that terrorize us, but our faith is put in jeopardy when the people that terrorize us are the very people named as pastors, as Christians, as people of God. And today, God wants you to come before Him.
Amen.
To bear your hearts before Him. And before you can just ask God for a deliverance right now, which He can, God wants to send a prophet to you. God wants the prophet, the main job of the prophet in the Old Testament is to single out the root cause of our sin. And the root cause is ingratitude. Maybe some of us here, we have grown proud. Just a little bit of success from the world, we are already, you know, beyond touch by anybody. Nobody can say us. Nobody can correct us. Nobody can tell us what to do. And so God allows so many things. God allows your colleagues. God allows your sibling. God allows your neighbors even to oppress you. It's so as to force you back to Him. To realize that ultimately all that you are, your being, your everything, your movement in and out is from God. Your intelligence, your riches, your beauty, everything of you is from God. And so today, before you can ask for any deliverance, Pastor Tony is trying to tell you that you need to have repentance. Your sin needs to be exposed first. You must see the root cause, and the root cause today is sin. And specifically, it's ingratitude. Israel forgot God. Israel forgot all the delivering acts of Yahweh upon them from Egypt. That's why God gave them over to these three types of enemies in their life. And brothers and sisters, Jesus came to settle this sin issue in our life by dying for us. But He did not stop there. Today, if you are brought very low, you have to hide. You have to be diminished. You have to be incapacitated. What belongs to yours is taken away by people. You bring in so many people to church, but it's taken away by people. You work so hard, and your income is sucked away by your electric bill, by medical bill and everything. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you have to see and come to the cross. You still got to come to the cross in repentance and in faith. But today I want to deliver the good news to you from the sermon of Pastor Tony, and that is, there is a greater Gideon in your life right now. Many times we expect the deliverer to do great things for us, but before Jesus Christ can be the mighty deliverer of your life, He became the bruised one. He became the broken one, brothers and sisters, so that today, if you are broken and bruised by any bullies in your life, whether it's literal, whether it's figuratively, you can call out to Him, because He became the broken and the bruised one so that you can destroy any oppressive spirit that is in your life right now. You call up upon Him, because He brought Himself down to your level to go through your own oppression, so that today He can be your ally. You can fight not for victory, you fight from the victory He has already won for you on the cross. The bruised and the broken one comes in you so that today you can bruise and break the oppressive spirit of the world through COVID, through all these unfair wars that we are seeing. We can pray for Ukraine, and even in your private war, people are stealing from you. People are taking the credit that is due to you. You can take it back, because Jesus has won this war for you. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's sing. Let's sing.
Sing again.
And respond to God. Respond to God.
Amen.
Yes.
That's who God is. Yes. Oh, He can make a way for you, because He became the way. Thank you, Lord.
Promise me, light in the darkness, my God, that is who.
pray for my people. I pray that God, the world is changing. The COVID, and now the possibility, even though it's very minute, of a major war outbreaking. Father, let our people have spiritual eyes to see that the world is no more the same. But we are the people of God. Let the people arise, strengthen their faith, and arise and put their complete trust in you. And believe that God, you can use them like you use Gideon. Brothers and sisters, God look at you and say, I am with you, you mighty men of valor. That is what God look at you as you are. Be that person that God wants you to be. They need you. God wants you to rise. Because their souls to be saved. Their lives to be protected. And God wants to use you. Father, I pray that all of us will ponder over this work, over this statement, and grow in the knowledge of our God. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I smite every oppression that is in the family members of our church. I smite every attack, any spiritual attack. And I release blessing. I release financial blessing. Let the river of financial blessing flow into the family. Let a river, like a mighty river, that flow into the family, and you will flow out to touch and bless other lives right now. Father, I pray for health. I pray for health, physical health of our people right now. Heal them of every sicknesses. Protect them from any COVID-19. Let them arise for the glory of God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, we pray.